Good morning, everybody. Is everybody ready for whatever's coming this afternoon? Snow, rain, something, whatever. Something's going to happen this afternoon, right? Hopefully, it's just going to be rain. I can't deal with 3.5 feet of snow, so. It's good to be back together. We have been the last several weeks going through, the messages have been tied to revival and just trying to kick off the new year and think about sometimes we all need a jump start, amen? And it's a good time. Seems like January is a good time for a jump start. We've kind of survived Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then we kind of dip down into this law, and we're just going through the motions to make it through January. And so we're just trying to fire that up a little bit. And so we have covered areas several weeks ago. We talked about what it's like when God breaks through in Isaiah 64, when Isaiah says, God, would you just rend the heavens and come down? And meet us, Lord. And then we talked about reviving us again, 2 Chronicles 7:14, the steps to revival, you know, how humility plays a huge part in that. And then last week we talked about brokenness out of Luke and the idea of following Jesus and picking up our cross, following him, means that we have to lay down our own lives. Not brokenness as we're broken people. We know we're all broken people, but before the Lord, we need to be broken and let God have his way in our lives. Amen? And so today, the title of the message is, Are You Out of Breath? All right? And so I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. And first, the idea of breathing, just some fun facts. I kind of work in the medical field a little bit, so sometimes fun to share things because the reality is most of us do not think about our lungs most of the time unless you got an issue with them. Amen? Right? You go through life breathing in, breathing out multiple times a day, right? And you don't think about these things in here that control all that and that keep us happy, right? Because I've seen people that can't breathe. They're not happy, right? And we don't ever think about that. So breathing is something that we all do without realizing it. We breathe in, on an average, about 22,000 times a day. You're breathing air in. 22,000 times a day. We're powered. Our whole bodies are powered by breathing. Our lungs' fuel is oxygen. Our body's life-sustaining gas. Our lungs breathe in air and then remove the oxygen and pass it through our bloodstream where it's carried to certain organs and tissues that keep us alive. So very important, right? That's why I always love when I talk to people who smoke or vape, because now that's the new smoking, you know, as if that's better, right? Especially around a firehouse, you get a lot of guys that like to do that. And I go, why do we wear SCBA in burning buildings? So we don't breathe in smoke. Exactly, right? Because God created these things in our bodies to only take in one thing, oxygen, right? They're not created to take smoke in, right? They don't like it when they breathe smoke in. And if you've ever had that happen to you, you know, right? So our lungs, what they do is they take in oxygen, they move it around the body, they fill it to different organs that need oxygenated blood, and then it comes back out, and when we exhale, anybody know what comes out when we exhale? Carbon dioxide, right? So good stuff comes in and circles around the body, and then bad stuff comes out, right? Sometimes your breath, right? Come on, that's funny, right? All right? So, hopefully not, but, right? But carbon dioxide comes out, which we know is not good for us. We can't breathe that in. So that's the bad stuff that comes out. You know, our brains control how fast our lungs draw air in. And when we exercise or when we play, our brain tells our lungs to work faster. And when we're sleeping, our lungs work slower. Our breathing and our lungs are precious to us. We need them to protect us. So here's a couple fun facts before we jump off into the sermon about our lungs, right? Your left lung and right lung are exactly the same. The lung on the left side of your body over here is divided in two lobes, and the lung on your right side is divided into three lobes. And the left lung is also slightly smaller than the right one to make room for your heart. Right? Interesting, isn't it? How God designed us, right? These aren't just facts, but just think about this is how intricate God is when he designed the human body. Did you know that you can live with only one lung. You won't be able to do exactly everything you can do with two, but you can live basically a normal life with one lung. When resting, the average adult breathes in 12 to 20 times a minute. Lungs contain, this blew my mind studying this, lungs contain approximately 2,400 kilometers of airways and 300 to 500 million air sacs, which we call alveoli, right? In your lungs, there's these pathways that go down to these little sacs called alveoli, right? And that's where the gas exchange happens in your lung. You breathe in good air, and the gas exchange comes, and then it puts off carbon monoxide, right? So just in case you were curious how far 2,400 kilometers is, I had to Google it. It's over 1,000 miles. Did you hear me? Inside your body, you have lungs that have little pathways down to these little air sacs, and if you were to stretch them all out, it'd be over 1,000 miles. Isn't that fascinating? And I mean, how can you not believe in God if that's the truth, right? If stretched out, the total surface area of your lungs would be about the same size as half a tennis court. Amazing, isn't it? Inside your body. But right now, you're sitting here and you're just thinking, man, I can't feel them. I don't really notice them because they're working right, right? But if you took them things out and stretched them, that's half a tennis court. There are about 600 million lung sacs or alveoli in your lungs. And if you stretched all of them out, they would be about the size of 4.5 18-wheelers. I know you're probably thinking, that's just gross. Who thinks about that stuff? People in the medical field think about it. I think it's kind of neat, right? So your lungs are important. For our people on the worship team, they're not just important for talking, but they're important for singing, right? Above your trachea here in your throat is your windpipe and your larynx, which is your voice box, which contains your vocal cords. The amount of air you force through them can change the pitch or the sound and also change the volume of the sound when you sing or speak, right? So it's amazing, right, what these two things inside of our bodies do. It's just absolutely fascinating to me. So breathing's pretty important, right? Because if you quit, you quit, right? Well, you'll be laying up here, and we'll be talking about what a good person you were, right? That's what's going to happen if you quit breathing, right? So they're important. They will help us through this life. So where does that get us into talking about the Holy Spirit? Well, in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, it says that the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, right? So God takes dirt from the ground and forms it into a human being, into a body, and then the next thing is what's fascinating to me. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person, right? That's how we got here, folks, right? We're just a pile of dust. I love in the Psalms, David once says, thank God he remembers that we are made of dust, right? I don't know about you. Aren't you glad God remembers that? You know, they are just created from dirt, so they're prone to make mistakes. So, but it's fascinating to think that God just formed out of dirt and breathed his breath into that pile of dirt, and it became a living person. That's fascinating. You and I are alive today because God breathed into us life. Man's God-inspired, right? We're not just matter. We're living souls, and we will live forever somewhere. And what makes the difference is the breath of God, right? Anybody ever seen your kids born, right? I got this three times, right? And they take that first breath. It's amazing, right? And that's just an amazing thing. In Job 33, verse 4, it says, Job says this, for the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired or breathed out by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. This is not just an ordinary book, right? These are not just ordinary things in this book, not ordinary inspiration. It is the breath of God. every single word from Genesis to Revelation is breathed out by God through men. Isn't that amazing? That's what God does. That's the power of God. That's the power of His Holy Spirit. In the very beginning, in Genesis, it says the Spirit moved across the face of the earth and created trees and oceans and plants and animals, right? That's the Holy Spirit. And if you would, you can flip to John chapter 20, verse 22. And on the day of Jesus' resurrection, He came into the disciples, and it says this in verse 22, then He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," right? He was empowering these men to continue to carry on the mission. Now, the Holy Spirit has been throughout all of time, right? Like I said, we see in the beginning in Genesis, the Holy Spirit's there and He's active in the world and all throughout. Now, in the Old Testament, we don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling everyone as we do now. The Holy Spirit can indwell in all believers, right? But in the Old Testament, God would send the Holy Spirit upon certain men and women to carry out tasks. But then after the death and resurrection of Jesus, He promised that He would send us another counselor, right? John 14, 15, and 16, we get that whole teaching about the Holy Spirit, how Jesus said, "I'm going to send you another counselor. He's going to help you. He's going to remind you of all the things that I said to you." And not only that, He's going to live in you, right? And Jesus said crazy things like, "Hey, when I'm going, greater things than I will do that you will do because of the Holy Spirit," right? The empowering of the Holy Spirit. So the Greek word here in John 20, 22 is employed nowhere else in the Old and the New Testament. But it's the very one used by some of the translators of the scripture that go back to Genesis 2:7, right? So He breathed on them, right? He takes the disciples and He breathes life into them by giving them the Holy Spirit, the same way that God in Genesis 2 formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed life into that, making him a living soul. Isn't that powerful stuff? And so you and I need the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. Amen? We need His help, right? He was there as part of man's original creation. Everyone who is born again has had God breathe on him just like that. Go back and read through, as I said a while ago, John 14, 15, and 16 talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit indwelling us, right? We can't live the Christian life without it. We can't do the things that God requires of us. To say no to sin in and of itself requires a transforming power that is not in our flesh, right? Because in our flesh, we would choose wrong every single time. The thing that helps us, the things that keeps us on following Jesus is the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin. Hey, don't do that, right? We all know when you're following Jesus, sin still pops its ugly head up in our lives, but we have that thing that happens to us. We know that's wrong, and then we have a choice to make. We can listen and obey the Holy Spirit, or we can listen to our own flesh, and we have a choice to make. The wise choice is always to listen to the Holy Spirit, our counselor, right, our guide. We're first convicted by the Holy Spirit of our sin when we came to Christ, and then we were regenerated by the Holy Spirit. He changes us. He renews our heart and minds. And then we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit when we're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit lives with us, right? And He walks with us. And He goes to work with you, right? I know maybe you're not thinking that because we don't think about it. Just like these lungs, we take for granted the Holy Spirit in our lives. We don't think about Him. We don't think tomorrow when you get up, hey, the Holy Spirit's going with me to work. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to live for Jesus today. Well, guess what? You're not going to live for Jesus today in your own strength. Because guess what? You don't have it. You need help. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside of us and helps us. We are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that filling comes by a continuous experience, right? As I've said before, it's not a once and a done thing. We came up here, hey, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit, got regenerated, I got baptized, I'm good. No, now it's a daily walking with him, a daily learning from him, a daily allowing him, as we've gone through the last couple weeks, humbling ourselves, being broken before God, allowing the Holy Spirit to shape and mold us, right, into the people of God. The church itself needs the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that breathes on us for the power to live for God. The church itself is God-breathed by the Holy Spirit. If you don't think so, flip back to Ezekiel chapter 36. Chapter 37, I'm sorry. Ezekiel 37. And maybe you've heard this story before, but it's the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones. It says this: "The Lord took a hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones." Now, the idea here, imagine the church, right? This is the picture of the church. The church needs some structure and form, right? But it's God who makes it alive, right? Just like he's going to do here. "He led me all around among the bones that are covered the valley floor. There were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live again?'" Right? And sometimes, right, we can look at church and think, boy, there's a lot of dry bones here. Amen? Hey, I'm part of church too. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you, right? We can look at church and think, man, we're a bunch of dry bones. There ain't really much happening. What is going on? And so sometimes we look at the church and we think, man, can this thing ever live? Can this thing be what God's called it to be? And that's what God asked Ezekiel here, the Holy Spirit does. "Son of man, can these bones live again?" And he answers the only way that we should answer. "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." And then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh on the muscles and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Right? That's how God builds the church. Listen, if we as the body of Christ are not filled with the Holy Spirit, we are running on our own strength. And we can do that, and there's a lot of churches that are running that way right now. They got good programs. They got good ideas, right? Some things are even going okay, right? But they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that they're doing is man-made. And God said he created the church to be so much more than that, right? We got to be careful that we don't get trapped into that, where we just think, oh man, church is great, you know? Things seem to be happening. Well, yeah, and sometimes they happen even though you're not involved, but you're supposed to be, right? Because we are the body of Christ, right? Everybody in here, right? If you profess to know Jesus Christ and be born again, you're part of the body. The church is not this building. It's us. And we have to work together. And if we're going to accomplish the mission which God created us to do, which is to point people to Jesus, then you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be empowered with his strength. Because in and of itself, listen, you and I don't have it. We just can't get it done. We fall short. We miss the mark. And we fail. The last thing that we want to do, in Ezekiel here, he says, man, breathe upon those bones. And guess what he did? All of a sudden, in that desert valley, those bones began to rattle. They all came back together. And then next thing you know, muscles and tendons appeared on those bones. Things look like they're moving up, right? And then skin comes upon those bones. And the next thing you know, there's a whole valley of dead bodies laying in the valley. Right? It was just bones, but now look at it. Now it's bodies. But guess what? They're still dead until God breathes on them. And once God breathes on them, they come to life. And that's the same story of the church, man. Unless God breathes on this church, unless God breathes on the church down the street, It's just going to be a place where people gather. It ain't going to be no different than the Lions Club or the Rotary Club. We'll do some good things. We'll have some good times. We'll even help some people. But it won't be life-changing like the power of the Holy Spirit can be. Amen? We don't want to be like the church in Sardis. In Revelation chapter 3, the church in Sardis, Jesus says to them, I know the works that you have done, right? Every time in the book of Revelation, when he's speaking to these churches, Jesus says, I know what you've done. But in Revelation 3, verse 1, he's speaking to the church at Sardis, and this is what he says. I know all the things that you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, right? People go by your church, man, and they think that place is hopping, man. They got it going on. But listen, does it matter what people think? Does it matter when people ride by Real Life Chapel and see the cars in the parking lot and the programs going on? Is that what really matters? It shouldn't be, right? Because this is what he says. I know all the things that you do, and you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. He says there's no real life in you. You're just dead. You're functioning, but you're not living. He says, wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead, right? He says, I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first and hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come and as suddenly and unexpected as a thief, right? And we don't want that, right? We don't want that as a church. We want to function and move in the power and in the strength of the Holy Spirit. That's what we were created to do as a church and as people, as individuals. As Christians, we must be open-ended first towards God and then towards man. We're open-ended towards God to receive his strength and his power and his wisdom. And secondly, we're open towards men for service to them, for men and women in the community. I love what Isaiah, I was reading it this morning in my devotions, and in Isaiah chapter 11, he gives a perfect description of the work of the Holy Spirit. If my pages won't stick together. Isaiah 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Right? That's what it looks like in the life of a believer. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Right? People say to me all the time, well, I just don't understand the Bible. I struggle to understand when I'm reading. Listen, then pray. Pray and ask God to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me understand what I'm reading. Right? He gives. This is a promise from God. He gives a spirit of wisdom and understanding. He gives us the spirit of counsel, right? He gives us the spirit of counsel to be able to help other people. Hey, you don't have to be a theologian or a pastor, right? You just got to love Jesus and be filled with the Spirit of God to help people. Watch people go through difficult things and be able to speak life into them, right? You don't even have to have the scripture memorized, although scripture memory is great. But you don't have to have that. You can say, hey, man, I was just reading this week, and I was thinking about you, and I was thinking about your situation, and I just feel like God, you know, I just really feel like I wanted to share this verse with you. I just want to encourage you, right? Counseling people, helping people, encouraging people. Spirit of counsel and might, strength, right? You know, the Holy Spirit wants to give you strength to live this life. When people go through difficult and hard things, when Christians face terrible situations, right? Do you ever sit there and go, I don't think I could ever go through that, right? I mean, just last week, I was sharing earlier that in Seaver, we had a horrible accident last week. I had to go and do some counseling with some of the guys and gals that I work with because I wasn't working that day. We had a terrible accident where two children were killed, and it was just terrible. Like, and how does somebody get through that? You listen, it's a struggle for even a Christian to go through something like that. But only the Holy Spirit can help you with that. Only God can carry you through the death of a loved one, or the loss of your children, or the loss of a parent, or the loss of a brother or sister, or the loss of a spouse, right? He promised us that he would give us not only wisdom and understanding and the spirit of counsel, but he would also give us might, strength to face the times like when he says in John 16:33, in this world you'll have many trials and sorrows, right? Jesus didn't say you were going to get saved and it was all going to be wonderful. He said, you're going to get saved, and guess what? People are going to hate you because of me. And you're going to have trials and sorrows in life, even as a follower of Jesus. But take heart in me, for I have overcome the world. Matter of fact, he says this to them, I'm telling you this so that you may have peace in me, that I've already overcome the world. But while you're still here, it's not going to be that easy, right? You're going to have to hold on to me. You're going to have to trust in me. You're going to have every day have an experience with me, right? It's not like you wake up tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up, and your heart's empty with the Holy Spirit because you used up all you had today on Sunday. Now Monday morning, I wake up, I got to get a new infilling. No, that's not how it works. It's just you need to continue to experience him. You need to walk with him. You need to talk with him. You need to pray, right? You need to spend some time in the Word of God, in putting it in your heart. That's how we live and move. Think about a lake, right? If a lake has an inlet, right? If it doesn't have an inlet coming in, it just gets exhausted. It's a puddle of water, and then it dries up, and it's nothing, right? But if there's an inlet, if there's a source of water coming into the lake, that's great, right? It's got a steady stream coming in. But then it's got to go out, right? If there's no outlet to the lake, what's it become? Dirty, nasty, stinky, stagnant water, right? There's some dirty, stinky, nasty, stagnant Christians because they soak in, but we never give out, right? And that's not what we were created for. We're created to receive the Holy Spirit, to soak in for the purpose of giving it back out to people, to help people. That's what we do, and that's how we're called. Now you say, well, man, I don't think I could do that. Well, again, it's because we neglect the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't think about him. We think, I don't have the ability to do that. I could never do that. Oh, don't ask me to stand up and share my testimony in church, Pastor. I can't do that. I can't. I'm not a good public speaker, right? Well, listen, go back to the book of Acts, right? Just hang in there with me. We're almost there. We're going to land this plane in a minute. But in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, we see that Jesus promises them the Holy Spirit, right? He's promised them, matter of fact, back in John 20:22, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1, it says, excuse me, verse 4, once when they were eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized you with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set the dates and the times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. That word power is translated from the word didymus, which is where we get our word dynamite from, right? Power. Not just like barely hanging on, like, huh, I can get a little bit of courage, maybe. No, he came to give us power to live the Christian life because you and I need power to live this life. He goes on couple verses down and empowers them. And it says that in chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Listen to this. And then suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, right? And that word translated is suddenly there was a mighty breath that blew into that room and endued them with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Those flames of tongues that went above their heads, right? That was all after God had breathed into that room and filled those men and women with the Holy Spirit. And after that, man, that's when we see the church on fire. We have never seen the church move with such power and such authority as we did the early church in the book of Acts. They got more done than we've gotten done since their time, right? That generation of the church was the most powerful generation we've ever seen because they trusted and depended upon the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Acts chapter 3. Remember the story when Peter and John were going into the temple and there was this beggar that sat at the temple gates every day, and as Peter and John are walking in, he asked them, hey, can you give me some money? And what's Peter say? Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'll freely give you. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Right? And he gets up and walks. And he doesn't just walk, he goes into the temple with them. And he's dancing and shouting, right? This guy hasn't walked in years. And now he's walking and he's dancing and shouting and he's drawing all kinds of attention to Peter and John. And Peter and John look at this crowd and say, why do you look at us as if we did something amazing? That wasn't us. It's God. The Holy Spirit did that, right? We're just his servants. Then Peter gets dragged in front of the council for this healing of this beggar. He gets dragged into the council to answer questions. Now, how does Peter, the guy with the big mouth, right, how does he get such boldness here, right? Remember Peter? Jesus said, Peter, surely I tell you, before the day is over, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter was like bold, right? Never, Lord. Not me, right? And then just a few minutes later, what happened? A little girl comes to Peter, right? Not some 6 foot tall, you know, 275 pound cut out of a rock dude, but a little girl comes to Peter and says, aren't you one of his disciples? No. And then everybody starts asking three times. And then that rooster crows and it's like a dagger into Peter's heart because instantly the Holy Spirit convicts him and reminds him of what Jesus said. That before the rooster crows three times a day, you'll deny me. And it says that he wept bitterly, right? This weak guy, right? This weak guy with a big talk, but not a lot of action, right? So now, how in the world did we get Peter there to Peter saying, hey, get up and walk in the name of Jesus, and now he's in front of the council, and he's saying, man, do you guys not know? Man, you guys should know. I mean, you guys know the history about Jesus, and he begins to lay it all out there. Now, how does that happen? Well, Scripture is very simple, right? Because it tells us how it happens. In verse 8 of chapter 4 of Acts, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to say to them. How does Peter do it? Because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. How are you going to walk your Christian life tomorrow? You're not, unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you witness to that person that you know needs Jesus? You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And I've always said, and I've gotten in trouble for saying it, but listen, in my opinion, I'm just going by what I read here. You can't be on the church board. You can't teach a Sunday school class. You can't do anything here. You can't be the treasurer of the church unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? I've seen it happen many times in the church. Oh, well, he's a banker, so let's let him be the treasurer. Yeah, but he ain't filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, that guy is a good teacher, so we'll just let him teach. Yeah, but is he filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, so he can teach a lesson, but does he have power? Right? And that's where the power comes from, right? That's why it's important for you and I to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you see our deep need and our deep desperate need for the filling of God to breathe into us life through his Holy Spirit? What about you? Are you gasping this morning for breath? Do you find yourself huffing and puffing, right? I don't know about you, you get me going down a couple flights of stairs and I'll be huffing and puffing. Not long ago at work, we had to fly to Florida to look at an ambulance, and we got to the airport, and we took a wrong turn into the parking garage, and we had to go up steps to get to the car. You know, and three guys that we should be fairly good shape, going up steps. Man, by the time we got to the top of steps, we were all, whoo, man, wait a second, I gotta catch my breath, right? That's funny, but a lot of us are like that spiritually. It's because we have no relationship with the Holy Spirit. We gotta keep that experience with Him moving, right? He's part of the Trinity, He's part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus promised us. It's what Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm giving you a gift. It's the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your counselor, your comforter, your guide. He's going to teach you everything and remind you everything that I said, right? Remember in the scriptures when it says, do not worry about when you're drugged before kings and queens and authorities to give a word for God? Do not worry about what you'll say in that moment. Why? Because who's going to tell you? Bill from work, right? Susie from the office going to tell you what to say? No. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you exactly what you need to say in that moment. But we don't trust that, right? Man, that's scary, right? It is. But we have to trust Him. But if you walk with Him and if you have experience with Him, you will trust Him. And you'll know in those moments when the Holy Spirit fills your heart with a word. I can't tell you how many times I've experienced that, having conversations with people, and all of a sudden God gives me, a scripture comes to my mind. And I'm like, I just feel like I need to share this scripture with you. And I'll share it. Or in a counseling session with somebody, and God gives me a scripture. It's never, you know, I love it when people say, well, I got a word for God from you. Well, if it didn't come from the word, just keep it to yourself, right? Because God can tell me Himself, right? But when you say, hey, look, I was praying, and this scripture came laid across my heart, then I'm more prone to listen to that, right? Well, what does the Bible say? Ooh, that's good. I need to go home and meditate and pray on that, right? God will give us what we're supposed to say. And in the process, we have to be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, you can grieve Him. You can make Him sad, right? And the way we do that is by living life under our own power, by living life according to the flesh. In Ephesians, it tells us, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own. We belong to Him, right? Guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. That's His job, to help us. So, He gives us a list of things that grieve the Holy Spirit, and we should get rid of them. Bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior, right? Get rid of those things. Don't let those things grieve the Holy Spirit. If the worship team would come as we close, right? John 7, 37 through 39 says this, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into His glory, right? So I want to ask you this question. Has Jesus entered into His glory, or has He been glorified in your life? The glory, or to be glorified, just simply means this, to recognize, honor Him, praise Him, invest in Him, to give esteem to Him, honor Him by putting Him into an honorable position first in your life. Maybe the reason the Holy Spirit has not been released in your life is because you've not given glory to Jesus Christ in your life. And you need to do that. There's no need to feel shame over that, but there's a need to respond to it immediately and fix that problem. Have you done that? If Jesus is not glorified in your life, maybe that's why you aren't seeing the power of the Holy Spirit move in your life. Remember, it is not a once and done experience. It is an ongoing, daily experience with Jesus and letting Him be our Lord, not just our Savior. A lot of people are down for Jesus as the Savior, but really, they don't want Him to be the King, because the King demands stuff from you, right? For Him to be Lord and Savior means that I do what He says. Oh, I just received Him as Savior. That's the good news. Woo! I'm saved. but I'm not going to do what he says, then he's not your Lord. And Scripture says if he's not your Lord and your Savior, then you don't really belong to him. Just as we physically tend not to use our full capacity of our lungs and only take little short breaths, so as Christians we draw little gasps of divine power, especially if we're in an emergency. Then we're really wanting to breathe in deep. Instead, we need to have a deep daily inhalation of the power of God in our lives, the way he created us to be. You and I can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. If you have a thirst in your heart today, then I just recommend that you just bow and surrender yourself to him. Ask him to fill you. Ask him to walk with you again. If you got things you got to get straight with him, repent and get right with God. Listen, you were created for more than to just come here and sit on a Sunday morning and feel good about yourself and then walk back out the door and face the world. You were created to be God's child, to take his message into a messed up world that we live in, and not just limping through, but with power, with his power working in you, declare with boldness the love, the grace, and the truth of Jesus Christ. Right? And until we do that, man, until we do that, the church is not going to have the power that it's supposed to have. It hurts my heart sometimes to see the statistics of people say, well, there's millions of Christians in America. Well, what the heck is going on then? Because we ain't never seen nobody with any less power. If there's that many Christians in America, where's all the power at? Because many of them aren't living with the Holy Spirit. Many of them aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, they've made him Savior, but they haven't made him Lord. Don't let that be Real Life Chapel. It's not about our numbers. It's not about how many people come here. It's about the power of God. Amen? And that's my prayer for you. So let's pray. Father, I just pray right now that you would empower these people, Lord. If there's people here that need to get right with you, God, that you would draw them to yourself, God, that they would repent, that they would humble themselves in your presence, that, Lord, that this year would be like not be like any other year they've ever lived, because, Lord, they would begin to walk with you and surrender to you and be filled with your Holy Spirit to do all that you called them to do. To be a successful husband and wife, to be a mom and a dad, to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to live for the glory of God at work, to be an example in the community, not just of good deeds, but of God. That people might see the power of God moving through us, and they might be changed. God, we are desperate for you, Lord. In ourselves, we are so weak. Forgive us for the many times that we try to do things in our own strength. And breathe right now upon us the breath of God. Fill us with your power and your Spirit, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. We give you all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
So, while we're standing, we all know that I've said before, I don't like to talk. I hate getting up here and speaking, but yet I seem to keep doing it. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. I have nothing else for that other than it's the Holy Spirit. You know, it's easy for me to sing because I have the words right in front of me. You know, just in case I forget what I'm singing, I can look down real quick, be like, oh, okay, those are the words I need. It's different when the Holy Spirit's leading you, because I literally don't know what's going to come out of my mouth sometimes. And in saying that, sometimes I have to apologize to people because I'm not always the most tactful with my words. You know, it makes perfect sense in my head, and everyone else should understand what I'm trying to say. But sometimes it comes across, I don't know, maybe abrupt. My sister would agree that sometimes I just look at her and be like, you're being stupid. Okay? And that's how it comes across, like, to people. You're being stupid. Stop being stupid. You know? So the analogy with the lungs at the beginning was amazing, because my husband and I often think that, like, have you ever thought about, like, your heart? heart just never stops. Like, that's so cool that God just keeps it going every second of the day. And when he was talking about all those pathways and the other one that sounded like ravioli, I don't know what it was called. Yeah, ravioli. You know, that a healthy lung, that's all functioning, right? Okay. So that if you have someone, maybe they have a damaged lung, they have cancer, whatever happened, it's not all functioning, but it's still in the lung. It's still present. It's just a dead space in the lung. And the Holy Spirit was asking me, you know, this is not me pointing fingers at the church. This is, you know, me talking too. This is how I talk things out. But are we a dead space in the church? Are we a living, functioning, thriving part of the church? And a lot of people think, oh, well, I come to church, so yeah, I would consider myself a thriving, functioning part of it. But if that's all you're doing, are you really thriving? Are you really living? Are you really being an impact in the church? And not just this church, the church. Are you really impacting anybody? You know, yes, it's wonderful to see your face and see or hear you sing, see you smile. But I can get that at work too, you know? You can get that at work. And you can feel good because someone smiled at you, but are you truly having an impact? Are you truly obeying this Holy Spirit? So that's just a thought. Like, are you available and are you helping? Are you making, furthering God's kingdom? Are you being more of a, just, I'm here and that's it. Anyway, let's sing. I don't think we have the words to these to the songs, but you guys know these songs, so let's really sing.
Snow shadow, you won't light up. Mountain, you won't climb up. Coming after me. Snow wall, you won't kick down. Lie, you won't tear down. Coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow.
Climb up, coming after me. Oh, there's no wall. You
sing grace.